Thank you, Daryl and Praise Team. Appreciate you leading us in worship tonight. I'm glad to see you here. I thought after Michael announced that there was going to be a movie upstairs tonight, I'd lose my whole crowd this evening. But you made it, and so I appreciate that. They're doing another rendering of the God Is Not Dead movie that will be released, volume 2 of that movie, the sequel coming out real soon. And so there were many of them who had not seen it in the youth group. Very important movie that just kind of reiterates the faith of Jesus Christ and how that our world, especially on many of our campuses, tends to weaken students' faith. And so that is a good subject line to kind of introduce here tonight, because tonight's message is called Fearless Faith. And I'm going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 1 for our opening text. We will be referring to Numbers 13. Only God could work this wonderful dilemma I had this week out in my life. And y'all know what it is. Last Sunday night, we had tornado warnings. And I had this sermon I was going to preach on fearless faith, but I couldn't get to any of y'all. Y'all were scared to death in these little rooms all back through here. And I couldn't get anybody's attention. And when everybody started leaving, I kind of looked and I said, are we having church? And Brother Don said, I don't think we can keep them together or something like that. So I agree. He gave me. And so God bless me. And I got to study a little bit more. So I was teasing with somebody and said, this may be a doubleheader, but I thank God spared you of that, because I hope my voice will hold up for just these thoughts that I've got before us tonight. But the cool thing about this, week before last reading, which last Sunday night would have reflected Numbers chapter 13, is retold in this week's reading in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And so I'm going to combine those two passages together on the 12 spies. And I hope you're doing your foundations of the faith reading. I've become a real advocate of that little study. It's a great introduction to what we call spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. Part of the spiritual discipline just routine is that you read your word and read the word of God. And another aspect of that is that you would begin journaling or taking notes as you read the word. That book allows you to do that. And so it's a great tool for our church family to be going through. Our staff has still been going through it. And we've shared I've heard some very neat, insightful thoughts and observations. And so don't get left behind on this study that our church is doing. And if you're a little bit behind now, just pick up where we're at this week. You need to turn to week 12 is where we're at. We just finished week 11 in your book. And so last week's passage was day 49, and this week's passage is day 53 from the 2 weeks. And so I'm going to read this week's passage for my opening text, and then we will refer back to Numbers 13 for much of the sermon ideal as we see. But I found this very interesting, because if you look at Numbers 13, it tells us in Numbers 13, and I'll turn there very quickly just to have that, and you can go ahead and mark that. It says in verse 1 of Numbers 13, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land. Now that's the Numbers account. Behind the scenes in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we see how all that really went down. And so notice tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, we'll read from this text. Then we set out from Horeb, and we went through all the great and terrifying wilderness that you saw. And on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, the Lord God commanded us and say, and we commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord your God is giving you. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us that they may explore the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up and the cities into which we shall come. Moses responded, the thing seemed good to me, and I took 12 men from you, one man from each tribe, and they turned and they went up into the hill country, and they came to the valley of Eshcol and then spied it out. And they took in their hands some of the fruit of the land, and they brought it to us. And they brought us word again, saying, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for tonight's passage. And I pray, Lord, as we see this wonderful account that you preserved for us, not in one place, but in two places in your word. Lord, I pray tonight it will speak volumes to our heart. And that, Lord, we will be awakened in our need for greater faith. I think of the man that encountered Jesus when he was wanting his child to be healed. And he said, Lord, I do believe, but help thou my unbelief. And I pray tonight, Lord, that would be said of us, that our faith would grow stronger and stronger as we trust in you and trust in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Faith is an interesting subject matter. The Bible tells us without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible also tells us about faith that whatever you do without faith, it's done in sin. And so God's word cautions us as his children to be men and women of great faith. Oftentimes our faith wavers. And we don't feed our faith, and we don't let our faith grow. And that's the reason the exercise of the foundation reading each week is a great way to help your faith grow stronger and stronger. Because as Romans chapter 10 tells us, faith does come through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we need to feed our faith, just like we feed our bodies physically to maintain strength, physical strength. If you go without nutrition, you'll get weak. If you go without feeding your faith will become weak. You won't have faith to follow God in the capacity and on the level that he desires for you and I to follow him. Well, the account before us tonight in Numbers 13 and then in Deuteronomy 1, it was from the two highlight passages, I said day 49 and day 53 of our reading, is always an account that has intrigued me and stuck out to me. Because you see, they journeyed and they had left Mount Horeb, we're told, or Mount Sinai, where the law was given. And they were there in that period of time after they left the Exodus, almost a year during that transitional time. And here they come up to this place at Kadesh Barnea. Now, where is Kadesh Barnea located at? If you look in your map sometime, don't do it right now because you'll get lost, especially if you're a guy. You'll never come back to the sermon. You'll just stick there in the maps the rest of the sermon. But, you know, Kadesh Barnea is on the southern border of the Promised Land, just a little bit northeast of Egypt. And so they had gone down south when they left Egypt, and God had delivered them through his servant Moses. They had crossed that Red Sea, and then they came back around there to the mountain down there at the bottom of the Sinai Peninsula. And then they journeyed from there and crossed through the wilderness, as we read in verse 19 of Deuteronomy 1 just a minute ago, through this terrifying wilderness, as God describes it. The wilderness was not where they wanted to live. And God had promised them, even as Moses told them here in this passage of Scripture, in verse 20, when the Lord had commanded us, and it had been known from them all along, that God was going to deliver them from Egypt. That you can go all the way back to Exodus chapter 3 and read the account of this. That God was going to deliver them from Egypt. And then he was going to bring them out of Egypt. And then he was going to bring them in to the Promised Land. And so they knew from the get-go that was the plan. They had already seen what God had done most of the way. Why they got hooked up here and they got held up was because of their unbelief. Their faith had wavered. And the big lesson for us tonight is God is leading us into new areas to inherit our spiritual inheritance. Even as God would tell us in Ephesians 1, that he has blessed us with blessings from the heavenly places so that we can understand and receive our spiritual inheritance that God has for us. See, God is the one who gives us life. We learned about that a little bit. Some of us did this morning in some of our Bible study curriculum that we use, and one of the curriculum models that we've been using in the class that I teach. We were looking at John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, God's word is very clear when it says that Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Well, the promised land in the Old Testament is that understanding of the abundant life. It symbolizes, it's a type of the abundant life in the New Testament. I've heard Brother Don say before, and I'm thankful that him and I are on the same page, and I'm thankful both of us are on God's page, amen? Because it's good when you come together. That a lot of people used to write a lot of songs about, I'm going to Canaan land, as a reflection of heaven. Canaan land is not heaven. Canaan land is the spiritual inheritance and the life of blessing that God had for his children right here on earth. And it's good when you follow God, because God gives you a whole lot of heaven right here on earth when you follow him and you live in the center of his will. God wants to bless you with your spiritual inheritance. He wants you to grow deeper with him, to love him more, to know him more, to grow in your faith, to witness and share with others the things of God. But some of us, we just get stuck in this rut of just wandering in the wilderness. And we just don't have the faith to go in and take possession of all the good things that God has given us and God promises us. Turn with me back to Numbers 13 and 14 now. And look with me, and we'll read a little bit of this as we develop this. The first thing I want us to see tonight is fearless faith, as is laid out in this account in Numbers 13. Fearless faith is a faith that focuses on, now listen to this, it's very simple, but it's very profound. Fearless faith is a faith that focuses on the word of God rather than the words of men. Very easy to say. Sometimes very difficult to live out in our lives. So as we see this and we understand this, we're told here in this passage that the 12 spies, and I'm going to just pick up on verse 25 of chapter 13 to fill in some of the blanks. And at the end of 40 days, here's they came back from this expedition, the exploring. Some people in a military strategy would call this a reconnaissance mission. But God never really endorsed them to do this. God, as I said, there's a little bit of seemingly contradiction between 13:1 and Deuteronomy 1, where Moses said, I told you to go in. The people came to Moses and said, they requested something that Moses had not originally told them. Let us send spies into the land. God, as a concession, allowed them to send the spies. And so God finally agrees with them in chapter 13. That's not the only time in Scripture that God gives us a concession. The nation of Israel over in 1 Samuel, they wanted a king. God told them, a king won't be good for you. I've got a prophet, because if you're following God's word, he said a king will take all your taxes. A king will take the best of your labor. A king will create more issues for you. But they wanted a king like all the other nations. So God gave in and gave them. It's kind of an interesting concept behind the scenes, even in this passage. Be careful what you ask for. And settle for what God leads you in, not for what you want. God always wants what's best for you, whether you realize it or not. And as we observe through Scripture, and this is a mind-boggling statement, If you knew what God knew, you'd want just what He wants for you. That's a big if. And the only way we know what God knows is to spend time in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, and so God is telling us here. At the end, in verse 25 of 13, of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and they brought back the word to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, "We came to the land to which you sent us, and it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." But verse 28 has a big transitional word, however. I want you to understand that this was one of the defining moments in the life of the nation of Israel. And there are defining moments in your life and my life every single day where God leads us to the place of fully trusting Him. And then we have the great howevers of life that settle in. However, the people who dwell in this land, they're strong. And the cities are fortified and they're large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And he says, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of Negeb. And the Hittites and Jebusites, Amorites, they dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. And then verse 30, we see Caleb. This is the faith, the fearless faith that kicks in. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land. And they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we had gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height." And he says, "And there were the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim." And it says, "And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, so we seemed to them." And so there you have the little overview of the report that was initially given. You had 12 spies that went in. 10 of them brought back a bad report. Only two of them stood, Joshua and Caleb, stood together, as verse 14 and also over in Deuteronomy chapter 1 will tell us. Joshua was in on that. Joshua had by this time elevated into kind of Moses' main assistant. He was fixing to be appointed as to the leadership who would replace Moses. And so it seems like Caleb has kind of stood out here as being one among the people who had great faith. Now, Joshua's faith was still true too. And so we see this. And so we understand that fearless faith has to believe in the Word of God more than the words of men. The words of men can discourage us. The words of men, as wise as they may seem to be, are not the words of God, and they're not ever even close to being equivalent to the wisdom and the knowledge that God has. Paul tells us a little bit about that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he tells us that God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And he says the foolishness of God, and he uses that hypothetically, metaphorically speaking, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. God knew what he knew, and he knew what he had called them to do, but yet they had doubted him. And why they doubted him, I'm not really sure, because God had already fulfilled much of the promises He had already given them. He had already delivered them from the slavery that they were experiencing there in Egypt. He had already delivered them even as they came to another defining moment at the Red Sea, and they began to murmur and complain. And God separated the water miraculously and let them walk across on dry land, only to devour the Egyptian army and troops as they went in to the Red Sea. So they had already seen God do great miracles and great things, and their faith should have been growing and escalating. And so when we look back at all the faithful things God has done in our life, those should be factors that feed our faith, along with the Word of God alongside of that, as we understand that God is a God who keeps to His Word. When God says it, that settles it. But they saw the grasshopper, they saw the fortified cities, the big people, and they got what many theologians have called, according to the end, verse 33, they got what's called the grasshopper complex. They said, these guys are big. What they didn't realize was their God was bigger. David had that in mind when he fought the giant. And we see this and we understand this. It's interesting to observe that they said the fruit was just like God said it would be. It's interesting to observe that grapes and giants often come together. We have to feed on the grapes, but we have to fight the giants. They had giants that were intimidating them. They had giant cities that were intimidating them. And they were looking at those things. And here's the big dilemma that was keeping them from believing like Caleb, because they were walking by sight and not by faith. Joshua and Caleb were walking by faith and not by sight. A fearless faith is a faith that believes in God more than it believes in the words of men. You know, sometimes when God leads us in a direction in our life, it just simply on paper doesn't add up. It just doesn't make sense. And from a human perspective, we try to rationalize that. But faith says, I'm going to go forward and I'm going to follow God regardless of what sight says. And that's why we call it faith. It's seeing the things that the world doesn't see. And God says, as I quoted earlier in my introduction, that it's impossible to please God without faith. And so the big sentence here that we read from verse 30 was when Caleb said to the people before Moses, I don't really know what all transpired there. I'm kind of curious when I studied this in verse 30, chapter 13 of Numbers. What it looked like and entailed when it says Caleb quieted the people. There were a lot of people. Nearly a million by most estimates. And Caleb quieted the people. Surely it was the people that were there with him, the other spies, and then many of the other representatives of the nation of Israel, and they didn't believe a word that he said when he tried to help their faith to grow. And by the way, some of the words that Caleb shared in Numbers chapter 13 in verse 30 are the same words that I read to you earlier that Moses had told them before they went on their little reconnaissance vision. Moses was the man of God that was called by God to deliver the Word of God. That's what your pastors do each Sunday when we preach. Called, as Paul told Timothy, to preach the Word of God, not the opinions of men. And fearless faith takes God at His Word and believes God enough to go forward with the things of God, as we see this. You know, Caleb knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was the land that God had given him, and he was ready to go in and inherit the land. The people, as I suggested to you in verses 31 through 33, they fired back. They became what Dr. Gray Allison used to tell us over at Mid-America Seminary. They became the naysayers. And I can remember Dr. Gray Allison oftentimes when he would lecture, putting his hands over his lips, and he would tell us as young pastors, don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to the naysayers. I'm glad he told us that. I'm glad he was a man of faith that led many in the paths of righteousness and in the things of God, just like Moses and just like Caleb was trying to do on this occasion. They believed, they knew that God was doing wonderful things and could do wonderful things. But here we have it, the sin of unbelief. We usually don't even classify that one oftentimes on our sin list. We've got all our little most popular sins that we look at people in the world. We look at ourselves and say, you know, don't drink, don't chew, like our grandmothers used to tell us, or don't go with girls who do. Those type of sins. And we have our little hit list popular sins. But here is probably one of the greatest sins of the saints. The sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief was very costly to the nation of Israel at this defining moment when God had them right on the border, ready to go in and take the land that He had promised them. That's the reason we call it the Promised Land. So a fearless faith is a faith that trusts in God's word more than the words of man. A fearless faith is a faith, point two, as we'll move on in this, a fearless faith is a faith that is faithful even in the face of opposition. Even in the face of opposition. The two kind of go together. In verse 14, the first few verses, we won't read all those. I'm just going to highlight some of this from your reading. We said that the people of Israel begin to grumble in verse 2 against Moses and Aaron. I find it interesting that in verse 4, they even said to one another, we're done with these guys. They said, let us choose a leader and let us go back to Egypt. Boy, what a disaster. They had seen the land of promise. Their faith was so weak. Their faith was so ridiculous. They said, we'd rather go back to Egypt and be slaves rather than follow God and experience all the blessings that He had in store for them. And so we see in this case that they wanted to turn back. And then the response, the fearless faith remains faithful even in the face of opposition. Because there was opposition, not only against Moses and Aaron, but against Joshua and Caleb too. Because we see that in verse 5, Moses and Aaron, they fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation and the people of Israel. What does a leader do in a time of crisis? He prays. He prays hard and he prays earnestly. And he prays sincerely. Why do we pray? Because God has chosen in His sovereign will to work through the prayers of His people. And I don't know about you, but I want God to work in and around my life. God hears and answers the prayers of the people of God. So Moses immediately fell on his face before the congregation. It was a sign that he was saddened by their response. And now Joshua kicks in verse 6, the son of Nun and Caleb. They came together, and they were among those who had spied out the land, and they tore their clothes. And they said to the congregation of people of Israel, the land we passed through to spy out, it is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into that land and give it to us. He said, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land. for they are like bread to us. Their protection is already removed from them, and the Lord is with us. And then he says it again, do not fear them. It just seemed like fearless faith was a word that just kept, or faith and do not fear. You know, that was one of Jesus' main statements that he made to his disciples post-resurrection. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. And this is the same word that Joshua and Caleb were giving the people of Israel. Do not fear them. Do not fear them. They remained faithful even in the face of opposition. What was the opposition? The next verse goes on to tell us in verse 10, pretty serious, that all the congregation said to stone them with stones. I don't know if I've ever been threatened with stones. I haven't been, thank goodness. But they remained faithful. It says in that verse that the glory of God appeared in the tent of meeting and to all the people of Israel. So God intervened before they could stone Joshua and Caleb. It really wouldn't have mattered to Joshua and Caleb at that point. Their faith was set and it was steadfast and it was true to what God had called them. They knew that they were going to see it the way God wanted to see. Moses began to intercede for the people. And so we see this in this lesson that I just shared out to you. The fearless faith that remains faithful, even in the face of opposition. It remains faithful in our prayers, in our intercession, in times of difficulty, in times of uncertainty. We will become people of prayer. And that's what a fearless faith looks like. Are you a person of prayer? If you're a person of prayer, that you devote a lot of time to prayer. You pray every day. And it's not just now I lay me down to sleep. You're really praying and spending time with God. And you're communing with God. Because prayer is the avenue that he has opened up. And he has told us to pray without ceasing. And we see it illustrated here by the leadership, even when there was opposition against them. That's what fearless faith looks like. Fearless faith not only prays, but fearless faith also proclaims the truth. And that's where Joshua and Caleb stood up. And they reiterated what Caleb had already told them, what obviously Moses had already told them. They kept sticking to the word of God and what God had said, regardless of what the people thought. And so fearless faith remains faithful even in the face of opposition. And the faithfulness, as it plays out in your life, in my life, the faithfulness looks like our prayer life, and it looks like our lives of witnessing and our proclamation, sharing the word of God to others. That's what they were doing. Now, some of us go a long time, perhaps, without really having any serious prayer. Brother Don alluded to something very special this morning when he said that through the person of Jesus Christ, we could now enter into that Holy of Holies. And we can continue there. We don't understand what a great privilege God has given us to just be there with God and just savor him. So that when we talk to other people, it just naturally comes out. Sometimes it's hard to find, even in churches, like-minded spiritual people to fully have good spiritual conversations. We talk about everything under the sun. Weather's probably the top topic. And then ball games. And then entertainment. And then vacations and hobbies. Folks, it's time that our fearless faith displayed itself as being faithful by talking about the things of God. Let's talk about Jesus to one another and to the people in the world that God has called us to reach. That's what fearless faith looks like. It don't cower down in a conversation. When you think, well, they don't want to hear that. Well, who else is going to tell them that if you don't tell them? You got to step up to the plate and you got to be Jesus for them. You know, I'll never forget, I was talking to someone this morning And I guess I can probably say this tonight. I don't know if any of my daughters are in here or not. I remember old Evie Hill, when his wife died and he preached his wife's funeral, and James Dobson carried it. And he told a little line, and I heard that when my children were very young. And he said that this guy, him and his wife, he was talking about how they were supporting each other, came to take his daughter on a date. And he said he shut the door on that guy. And the guy persisted and knocked on the door again, and he opened it back up, and he said, "Young man, you're not anything like what we're looking for." And he shut the door again. And that illustrated for me, when I challenge my daughters, or I challenge some of your children and some of the people God has brought under our spiritual care here as your pastors, we want to tell them the truth about what God's will for their life is according to the Word of God, not what they want to hear. That's what a fearless faith looks like. And Joshua and Caleb, they stood up and they spoke the truth even in the face of opposition. Even in the face of potentially being stoned. Now, my children may have got mad at me a few times, but praise the Lord, they never stoned me. Amen? And you know, we still have to encourage one another. And God tells us to speak the truth in love. Quit being cowards. Our faith needs to grow to the point where we tell people the truth of who God is and what His will for their life is according to the Word of God. You can even give them the chapter and the verse, amen? Like the Renewal Ranch guys say, give them the address. Talking about the reference. Let them know that God has spoken. And this is God's will. Why? Because God's will never ever contradicts God's word. And then finally tonight, fearless faith also remains faithful and finds fulfillment in light of God's promised reward. And this is where it really gets good. Because God started really laying down the punishment, the discipline for disobedience. What was their disobedience? Unbelief. And boy, it was harsh. He tells them here in this passage that of all the people that had gone in, only two of them were ever going to see the promised land again. Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 spies died instantly. It says that in verse 37. The men that brought up the bad report of the land, they died by the plague that the Lord gave them. He was done with those guys. Unbelief is very costly. And oftentimes we don't even realize what it is costing us. I said earlier it cost us our spiritual blessing and our inheritance of fully trusting in God and having the fullness of God that He wants for us to experience. But you see that for the rest of the nation who followed the 10 spies, because they listened to the majority rather than the minority. Sound like anywhere you know of today? The rest of the nation listened to the 10 who brought the bad report. They listened to the vocal majority. Joshua and Caleb had said what God had told them to say and laid on their heart what Moses had already told them. They stood by God, and God said, they're going in. He said in verse 29, as He told all the rest of them, 28 and 29, "As I live, says the Lord, you have said in my hearing, and I will do." He said, "Your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness." For the next 40 years, all the adults, 20 years and older, died one by one in the wilderness. Brother Don, that would have been a lot of funerals. You know, I noticed this. There's a few little things in the book, rest of the book of Numbers, that just highlights a few events. But for the most part, the rest of the book of Numbers is pretty silent when it comes to God speaking. Now, God reiterates some things over in Deuteronomy, which is where our reading is now. But Deuteronomy's basically just the highlights of Moses' three messages called the Deuteronomy Law, as he's reiterating what God has told him. So it seems kind of interesting to me that God kind of pulled back a little bit as the nation of Israel just wandered around and around and around, just waiting on everybody who had the sin of unbelief to pass away. Such a sad state of affairs for so many Christians who are living right now, even Christians in our church, in the state of the wilderness wanderings. They're just going through the motions each and every day when God has so much more in store for us. And then as we see the fulfillment of God's reward, Joshua and Caleb, they got to go in. And you can't help, we'll come up on this in the weeks to come, but you can read the account in Joshua 14 where Caleb goes up to Joshua when they had conquered the southern part of the kingdom, which, by the way, is where they had went in for their exploration. And Caleb says to Joshua, I was 40 years old when I first came into this land. And he said, now it's 45 years later. Quick math tells us he was 85 years old. And Caleb looks up at him and says, give me the land that God promised me then. And Joshua does just that. Why is that? Because fearless faith receives the blessings and the inheritance that God had promised every time. And you will too, and so will I. Let's stand together as Brother Darrell leads us in a word of invitation. Brother Don and I'll be here in the altar just for a few minutes. We can pray with you, but I pray the main challenge tonight is that we'll just say, God, help my faith to be real. Help it to be more confident. Help it to reflect in my prayer life and in my proclamation of the Word of God to others. Help me not to be a coward, and help me to continue to look for the blessings in the promised land that you've promised me. As we sing.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.